אתם עם SBS בעברית. We are joined now by Shane Ziatnik. Hi Shane.
Hi Amit, thanks.
And this week the Australian Jewish News is continuing to cover the aftermath of the war in Israel with its relations to the Jewish community of Australia. And Shane, this week with a very powerful photo on your front page.
Yes, well our front page story starts with an image forever seared into our minds. A young girl bound and barefoot pulled from the back of a black jeep to cheers of Allahu Akbar. Her long hair is in the tight clasp of a gun-wielding Hamas terrorist. The photo has her grey pants blood-stained and her face, arms and ankles are bloodied too. This is how we discovered that my cousin Nama had been kidnapped, Sydney's Jack Shachar told the Jewish News. It's how everyone in the family found out. It's just unbelievable, terrible. Nama Levy, 19, had been staying on Kibbutz Nahal Oz when Hamas October 7 rampage began, as she remains in captivity. He recalled at 6:56 a.m. she'd sent a message to her mother, Ayelet, on WhatsApp that we're in the safe room, and then silence until the release of a video showing the team entering Hamas captivity, which went the video went viral worldwide. But there have been no further updates to Nama's whereabouts or condition since. Her mother is having a really hard time and she doesn't know what to do, shared Shachar, who migrated from Israel here with his wife and children 14 years ago. He reflected on Nama as a sweet little blonde child who grew up into a peace activist. Just last year, he said, she participated in Hands of Peace, an interfaith program that brings together Israeli, Palestinian, and American children. Nama is just one of the 244 hostages kidnapped by Hamas and understood to be among the hundreds of women victims of their weaponized sexual violence. Eyewitnesses, Zaka, volunteers, combat paramedics, law enforcement, and forensic experts have all attested to the horrors inflicted on girls and women on October 7th by Hamas. Attacks which have amounted to systematic mass rape and mutilation, where women and girls were brutalized in the most barbaric circumstances, defiled and paraded through streets, and whose naked corpses were piled on each other and burned. And yet, the world has remained largely silent on this. United Nations women, governments, sexual assault, and women's advocacy groups, the global Me Too movement, and feminists either ignoring, downplaying, delegitimizing, or outright denying these atrocities. Of course, 2 months have passed since October 7, with UN Women organization failing to issue until just last week any statement about it. When they finally did, on December 1, the statement acknowledged all women, Israeli women, Palestinian women, as all others are entitled to a life lived in safety and free from violence, adding, we unequivocally condemn the brutal attacks by Hamas on Israel. Mm.
And this brings me to ask you about an event called No Excuse, which took place in Melbourne last week, exactly on this topic, Shane.
Yes, so conveying this outrage and indignation of silence closer to home, hundreds held vigil at the No Excuse rally in Melbourne in solidarity with Israeli women and girls last Monday. Organizers said, it would appear that the pain of Israeli women is not valid. Indeed, the women's movements at large, by its silence, seems to accept that rape is an acceptable act of resistance. Mika Meltzer, a longtime Australian friend of Nama Levy, told the crowd she despairs when she hears accusations that Israeli claims have not been proven from people who are ignorant or misinformed about what Hamas stands for.
Let's listen to what Mika said. Here it is.
Why do they have the right to tell us that our families, our friends, are actually being kidnapped by the Israeli government to put Hamas in a bad light? That just does not make sense. They cannot be telling this to us when they don't even know what Hamas stands for.
That's one of the claims that that she'd heard. Meanwhile, Executive Council of Australian Jewry's immediate past president, Gillian Segal, told the Jewish News, the silence or worse, denial of Hamas's rape and sexual torture by so many female leaders is a perfect illustration of the hypocrisy and double standards that emerge whenever Jews or Israel are mentioned. Anti-Semitism, she says, displaces reasoning, principles, and basic humanity, and that's what we are seeing here. On Monday, hundreds also gathered at the UN for an Israel-led special session, aiming to raise awareness of the sexual crimes against women on October 7. Speaking at the special session, former Facebook CEO Sheryl Sandberg said, "Silence is complicity. In the face of terror, we cannot be quiet."
Thanks, Shane. And of course, you can read more about this on this week's edition of the Australian Jewish News. Staying on the same topic and going back 1 week, Australia welcomed an Israeli delegation, families of the victims and hostages.
Yes, so many might know an Israeli delegation visited Australia over the last week and a half or so. Of course, a hotel ambush in Melbourne by an anti-Israel mob was not enough to dampen their spirits in the end, or for them to tell their stories of their loved ones who were murdered and kidnapped by Hamas. The demonstrators, of course, were waiting inside the Crown Plaza in Melbourne's Docklands as the Israelis returned from an event at Mount Scopus Memorial College the previous Wednesday. In an incident, Prime Minister Anthony Albanese said, goes beyond the right of people to peacefully protest, and that there's no excuse for it. Delegation member Tali Kisner, whose son Segev was murdered at the Supernova Festival, told reporters at an event afterwards at Sydney's Bondi Beach, the following day in fact, he said, I'm sorry for these people because it is so inappropriate what happened. Getting inside the hotel of guests of Australia and insulting them, I don't know how anyone can react to that. She remembered her 22-year-old son as a very talented, very funny, clever guy who they went home at 2 a.m. I woke up at 8 in the morning and started to get the news, she recalled. At 8:30, I was texting him. Already he was not there and he was not with us. They were brutally killed. There were so many dreams. They were only 22 years old. She said, I hope each and every one of you never experience this kind of pain and grief that we have. Ofir Tamir and Amit Parpara spoke about their friend Noah Argamani, 26-year-old, who was kidnapped by Hamas. There was also Elad Levy recalling how his niece, Ronnie Eshel, 19, was killed by Hamas. At the emotionally charged event, there was 800 members of the Melbourne Jewish community last Wednesday heard from Mita Shani, the sister of Amit Shani, 16, who was kidnapped from Kibbutz Be'eri, movingly describing the effect it has had on her family. Fortunately, there was a happy ending with that one, with Amit being released the following day, and then she flew back to Israel to embrace him. Iris Haim, mother of Yotam, 28, who was kidnapped by Hamas, said it is important people outside Israel hear from people like her and others. And Kfar Aza survivor Elon Kotler also joined the discussion, which was moderated by the Jewish News head of content, Rebecca Davis. And this group also did some other things in recent days. They met state MPs at an event hosted by the Parliamentary Friends of Israel at the Victorian Parliament. They met the New South Wales Parliamentary Friends of Israel. They spoke at a communal event hosted by the New South Wales Jewish Board of Deputies at North Shore Synagogue. And they went to Canberra Parliament House to meet with members of Parliament.
And that's the Israeli delegation who visited Australia earlier this month. And moving now to our last but not least topic, the anti-Semitism in Australia. And on the political note, how the government should handle this, according to the federal opposition leader, Peter Dutton.
So stronger leadership against anti-Semitism by the Prime Minister and all state premiers, plus increased deterrence via law enforcement for those who commit it, are urgently needed, federal opposition leader Peter Dutton claimed at Bondi Mizrahi Synagogue on December 4th, there to meet members of the Rabbinical Council of New South Wales. Dutton urged Anthony Albanese to put the issue of addressing anti-Semitism on the agenda for the scheduled National Cabinet meeting of December the 6th. He said because of its national significance, and because of the threat and the fear that Jewish people are living under at the moment. The anti-Semitism we're seeing, Dutton said, on our shores is on a different scale than anything we've known in its raw and rampant hostility. And key leaders, he said, have been found wanting in providing strong support for Israel and in making clear-cut condemnations of anti-Semitism. And that's why we've seen instances of moral cowardice, equivalence, ambiguity, and qualification. He said a necessary pushback against anti-Semitism requires moral courage and clarity, and the Prime Minister needs to show some strength and leadership and stand up for our communities and our country's interests instead of being weak and woke. Dutton stressed we have an obligation to not only call out acts of anti-Semitism, but to demand there be serious, severe consequences for those committing anti-Semitic acts, like those pro-Palestine supporters last week who stormed the Crown Plaza Hotel in Melbourne. Those people should have been arrested, Dutton said, and we must keep pressure on governments and on police at all levels to enforce accountability and the rule of law, because there should be a message of deterrence. During a press conference afterwards, Dutton condemned actors who chose to take pro-Palestine stances during curtain calls of recent performances of Sydney Theatre Company plays The Seagull and The Visitors. He said these people are paid to act, not to be propaganda chiefs, and our society has no place for anti-Semitism whatsoever, and it doesn't matter how it's masked or dressed up. He said, I think Arts Minister Tony Burke has been so mealy-mouthed in relation to his response. These actions need to be condemned. Mm-hmm. And still on the political note, I should just mention next week, in the coming week, there'll be an Australian parliamentary delegation, six members, who will fly to Israel. And that group includes Federal Opposition Shadow Minister for Foreign Affairs, Simon Birmingham, and Jewish Labor MP, Josh Burns. So it's interesting that they've decided to fly to Israel to show solidarity. And of course, I don't think any ministers from the government previously, and certainly not the Foreign Minister Penny Wong or the Prime Minister, have gone anywhere near Israel since October 7th. So interesting that a delegation will be flying to Israel next week.
Nice. Thanks for the update, Shane. Shane Dziatnik from the Australian Jewish News, wishing you a happy Hanukkah.
Thank you, and happy Hanukkah. עקבו אחרינו והפיצו אותנו דרך דף הפייסבוק שלנו.